Welcome to Milestone Moments, the show where we explore the journeys that lead to success. I'm Sheila Slick, your host and founder of 5 Milestones. In every episode, we will bring you insights from the minds of entrepreneurs, leaders, and experts who will share not just their expertise, but the milestone moments that have reshaped their journeys and led to significant achievements. So if you're looking for motivation, you're in the right place. Subscribe now and discover the milestones that mark the path to success. Welcome to another episode of Milestone Moments in Business and Leadership. I'm your host, Sheila Slick, and today I have a super special guest, Alex Sanfilippo. He's the founder of the most groundbreaking tool for podcasters and people looking to be guests on other people's shows. It's called Podmatch.com. And through Podmatch and his podcast titled Podcasting Made Simple, Alex helps independent podcasters grow their influence and their revenue so they can better serve their listeners. He's also co-author of Unscripted Brilliance, the Podmatch edition. Welcome to the show, Alex.
Sheila, thank you so much for the kind words. It seriously means a ton. At time of recording this, we just got back from a conference that we were both at together. And it's funny when I walked into a couple different people's presentations and not knowing they were going to talk about Podmatch, but they did. And I heard it described as like a dating app, but connecting people for podcast interviews instead of dates, and like the Airbnb of podcasting. And I was like, wow, it's pretty cool. It was really fun to be able to see people without them being told to or asked to, but sharing about their experience with the platform. It seriously has been a gift getting to, as you said, connect guests and hosts for interviews and build all the little tools inside of it that really just help streamline the whole process. It's the whole idea is just let's save each other's time so we can do what we're doing right now, which is actually record something that's add value to the people that get to hear it. I'm just excited about it. I'm really glad to be able to serve in this way.
I want to go back a couple years, that first entrepreneurial journey and that tough first entrepreneurial lesson you learned at a very young age.
Sure. I mean, this is going back more than a couple years or a few years at this point, Sheila. This is going back a long time. But when I was 10 years old, that's actually when I got my first taste of entrepreneurship. At that point in my life, I was kind of a different kid. I wasn't great at school, but also wasn't good at video games or sports. And it's kind of like you had to be good at one of those things. But I wasn't like, I didn't have like a complex. I just knew I hadn't found my thing yet. And so one day I was outside playing on the golf course across the street from our neighborhood because all the parents said, go play anywhere you want except from the golf course. So all the kids ran to the golf course every day. And so we were just out there playing and there happened to be a golf ball sitting there. No golfers around. So I picked it up knowing really nothing about golf. A couple minutes later, a golfer rode by in a cart and said, hey kid, what does that golf ball say on it? So I turned around and I said, it says Titleist Pro V1. And he goes, I'll give you $3 for it. Now, listen, this is the 90s. Like in the 90s, $3 was a lot of money, especially for a kid. Like that was like light bulb. And this was the first time in my life I feel like something really clicked. So immediately I turned to the other kids because they're like, you just got $3, right? And I was like, here's what we're going to do. We watch golfers hit these balls in the water every day. We're going to fish them out. We're going to clean them up on Saturday morning. We're going to sell them right here. And long story short, I kind of started my first unofficial business. Never paid any taxes, Uncle Sam. I was a cute 10-year-old kid, so that I could get away with it for a little bit. But that was my real introduction to entrepreneurship, was just starting to sell things that creatively that I guess I was finding that were just kind of right there. And it seemed very obvious to me. And I didn't know that I had any leadership potential, but as a 10-year-old kid, I was bringing a bunch of kids in the neighborhood together, organizing them, making sure people showed up on time, all that stuff. And it kind of gave me, I guess, the entrepreneurial itch, like I caught the bug for it, right? And I found my thing. And that was my introduction to entrepreneurship.
I love that. Mine was cookies at around 7 years old and also had different life lessons. So why did you end up transitioning to corporate?
Yeah. So, my whole high school experience, I did a bunch of little things. Like you can only sell golf balls while you're cute. Once you're not cute, golfers like, give me that ball. I hit it in the lake yesterday. Right. So, but I started selling things on eBay, got good on computers. So I did like, even a little tech startup when I was in my late teen years in the real estate space. And that kind of put me on the map as an entrepreneur. Like that was a real business. I was paying taxes with that one, right? Like doing all that. And then the recession hit. Do that like 2006, I was doing really well. 2007, 2008, 2009, like a lot of this is history for people. I don't want to revisit it myself even, right? But it was a bad time. And everything I was doing was in the real estate industry at that time. So I went from really thriving and doing well to doing really, really, really bad at that point. And I'll never forget this. I actually called my dad and I was like, hey, I was like, I'm really struggling. I'm like, do you know of any work that's available? And my dad had a really big, he was a big name in the aerospace industry. So he's very well known, very high influence. And he's like, I can get you an interview somewhere. And I'm, to this day, I'm very grateful. Like, I don't know where I would have been without that. But sure enough, I go to a company, I interview, I get a part-time job. So I would go from like a thriving entrepreneur, having fun, feeling like I'm like in my calling, to financially really in a bad place, to getting a part-time job at an aerospace company. And I was a receiving clerk, which was translation for I took out the trash and broke down boxes for people. And that's kind of, that was my introduction to corporate. It was one of those things, it felt like a necessity. Like I didn't want, Sheila, I didn't want to leave being an entrepreneur, but I was really like, that really hurt. So I went from doing those things as a kid in high school, right? Felt like success after success after success when the stakes were really low, right? And then my first high stakes thing turned to this huge failure, which again, it was out of my control. It was a recession, right? But that scared me enough to be like, okay, I'm just going to get a job. And so I did 15 years in big corporate working in an aerospace company. And by the way, I never turned into an astronaut, skydiver, or fighter pilot. So it was a parts manufacturing company focused below the atmosphere. And that being a job I really loved and learned a lot from, but I just knew in my heart that was never going to be my life's calling or something I was going to stick with forever.
So how did you start podcasting? Or did you go to PodFest to see if you wanted to be a podcaster? How did that fit into the picture?
So I still had like all these entrepreneurial, I guess, feelings while I had this corporate job, right? And I learned the idea of having a side hustle. And so for me, I got married in 2012. And at that point was kind of when I was starting to feel like, oh, I really want to get back into some entrepreneurial stuff, but I don't want to do anything risky because last time I failed, right? It was kind of my mindset. I was like, this idea of a side hustle where I can apply myself for 40 hours a week and a couple hours a day, I can do something for myself. And so I started a whole bunch of things, Sheila, like a whole bunch of different things. Like I started blogging before it was like really podcasting. I did some coaching, some speaking, like all these different kinds of things. And then I found podcasting and taught myself how to do it. It was just very interesting. And I decided to just launch a show. And so I launched a show, I'm not 2014, maybe the years always get blurry, but something along those lines is when I launched it. It was just kind of like a hobby thing on the side, but I started realizing it was actually getting some real traction. And so it made me decide to actually to pivot and do a show that had a lot of intention around it. And so it was 2017 or 2018. And I launched a show that actually did very, very well. In 2017, like kind of when that all was happening, is my first time I went to PodFest in Orlando, which is for anyone listening who doesn't know what it is, a big podcasting conference, the one I referenced a little while ago that we just came back from. I've been going every year since 2017. Well, when I got there, that was my first real opportunity to be around podcasters. Like I was one myself, and it's funny, back then you were a dork for podcasting. People were like, wow, that's super dorky, but your content's great, right? Like, but I was like, whoa, there's a whole bunch of nerds that get together and talk about podcasting. And I just fell in love with the community of podcasting. Like I really did. I went home and just like knew, like, I want to keep on doing this podcasting thing. I've now got a little community. I'm going to level up my tools. My show that's starting to do well is going to do really well now because I feel more equipped and educated to be able to make it actually work well. And that's kind of my introduction to getting into podcasting. And this was all side hustle. I had a full-time job the whole time I was doing this.
A hobby. And today you have paid hosts because you're also helping people monetize their podcast over $1 million. You've paid out, which I know was your goal in 2025 because you were holding a big celebratory poster up and we were all cheering you on.
Thank you.
And so that's quite an accomplishment, Alex. And you're changing people's lives, not only by sharing your message, but you've built way beyond PodMatch. You've built an entire ecosystem. And I see you, you know, continuing to grow. So what key piece of advice can you give to someone that perhaps is still trying things out or perhaps they feel I failed? You know, how do I retry? Because you're the perfect story of how someone can find success after continuous, you know, trying or failures, if you are calling them, which they're not, because each failure is just a lesson and it gets you to where you need to be.
I love the way you just said that. Like each failure is a lesson that's going to teach you to get to where you need to be. Like I think that's so well said. And for me, that's exactly what I had to learn. So like, there's a gap here, right? 2017, I launched a show that started doing really well. I started going to PodFest, had my full-time job. In 2020, I made the decision that I wanted to go full-time with podcasting. And I didn't just quit my job and like, all right, I'm a full-time podcaster. Like there was no real path to do that. And so being able to now pay podcasters over $1 million, which I'm so grateful, like still pinch myself thinking about being able to do that. That didn't happen by accident. And I'll share that story and some, hopefully something that's really tactful for a listener today to be able to hear and implement. But what I decided to do is I went to PodFest again in 2020, knowing this is a room full of the people that I say I want to serve. They helped me get started. They helped me really find this area of passion. I believe this is where I want to go from corporate. And just, I was on stage with about 2,000 people there. It was right before the world shut down. So there was 2,000 of us in a room. And when I was finishing my talk from stage, I just said, hey, if anyone would just give me 2 minutes of your time, I'd love the opportunity to give you a hug, meet you real quick, and then I have just one question I want to ask. And to my surprise, hundreds of people lined up. And I was really grateful for that. I had pen and paper in hand. And I had one very key question. What is it that you're struggling with right now in podcasting? And the thing is, to kind of frame this whole thing, everyone kept on answering it and kept on telling me things. And I wrote down what I heard. And I heard 100 times the same thing, which was, Alex, I'm having trouble finding the right guest for my show. Or I can find people who want to be a guest on my show, but never the most ideal person. Or it takes too long to do this whole thing to book a guest. And I was like, that's the problem I want to solve. And what I learned during these years is just a 4-step framework for entrepreneurship. One, find your area of passion. For me, as we've been talking about, like it was podcasting. I want to be in it. And then I started going to the events. Number two, that's step two, is to get into the community. So I found my passion. I got into the community. The next thing is to discover the problem they're struggling with. That's what they describe, you know, putting a guest and host together. And the last thing is to offer the fastest possible solution. And so what I did that day, I went back at the end of my talk, came back to Jacksonville. So this is Orlando. I drove up to Jacksonville and just started whiteboarding it out and just said, if this were easy, what would this look like? Not if it were complicated, if it were difficult, any of that stuff. And I said, okay, if it were easy, what would it look like? And also, how do I not reinvent the wheel? So I thought about it. I'm like, oh, well, dating apps do it really well. Airbnb, these companies already match people together. They make that right connection. I'm like, that's what I want to be able to do, is that. And so started developing. And fast forward 6 months, or sorry, 3 months, actually launched. And then 6 months after, that's when I left my corporate job. And that's always a risk. It's always scary to leave a job like that. But my advice is this. Take courage, because courage means being afraid than doing what you have to do anyway. If you think that there's something on the other side of what you're doing, take a calculated risk. Really think about it. Don't just say, oh, it's fun, I'm passionate, it's going to work. No. Make a roadmap. Really think about it. And then what you do is you sacrifice the good. For me, it was a great corporate job after 15 years for the sake of the potential great. Podmatch had no, there was no guarantee it was going to make it, right? But it could be great, because I was like, one day we could pay podcasters $1 million back through commissions because they're on the platform. That could be great. And there is real potential in making this happen. So for me, once again, it just took courage. I was afraid. I loved my corporate job at that point. I cried on my last day when I was leaving. It was so sad to leave after 15 years. But it was something, again, I just knew I had to get back to entrepreneurship and I had to take this risk because there might have been something great on the other side. And here I am years later, saying it was completely worth it. I would make that same decision 10 out of 10 times. Part of me will always miss that corporate life, but I think I'm doing what I was made to do right now. And I think that that's a risk that's worth taking.
Beautifully said, and kudos to you. So there are many people out there that right now perhaps fear AI. What roadblocks or obstacles did you have to overcome in order to be able to do such a great platform from the software perspective?
Yeah. So, I mean, I brought in a co-founder from day one. So it's me, my wife, and our business partner, Jesse. And we just evenly split the company, had the legal team that we contracted kind of draft that up. And he's a developer. But from day one, we realized that like AI was going to be the way to go. And this was, again, 2020. So before it was really mainstream, we just said, hey, we're going to start leveraging this AI thing. The thing for someone who's like, oh, I'm kind of like, that makes me nervous, makes me scared and stuff like that. You can turn any digital enemy into an ally pretty quick if you understand what it can do for you. So a lot of people are really scared of AI because they're like, oh, it's probably going to take my job. It's like, well, how can it elevate your job instead of take it, right? It might be able to take what you're doing today, but how can you now leverage it to elevate what you're able to do, what you're able to deliver? And for us, we just knew like we're going to use AI, not because it's ever going to replace what we do, but it'll elevate what we're able to do. Like it'll take our limits and take them even further, stretch it to a new level. And especially in 2020, like not a lot of people were doing anything with AI at that point. So we just learned to harness it from day one. And I'll tell you what, people's minds were blown. They're like, you mean there's an AI that matched me and this person together? I was like, yeah, there is. You know, like that's how it works. Like that's the beauty of it. Now we don't have to have someone behind the scenes doing it or going through 100 different options to find one good one. Like that's not a thing anymore. We don't have to do it. If we were just said, oh, AI is probably going to be able to do this without us one day, then we probably would have missed our opportunity. And so I think for everybody, no matter what you do, there is a huge opportunity to leverage it in a really big way. Think of it as an extension of you, as an ally, not a potential enemy or threat. Think about what it can do to elevate who you are.
I love that. And I would also add, don't lose the human touch, because one of the things that
thank you. So good.
Absolutely love about your team and your platform is you always answer as humans. You're very active. You connect not only with your users, right? The hosts and the guests. And so you're actively involved in the community. It's not, I'm getting answered by a chatbot. There's a human behind the AI, and you do a wonderful job at that.
Thank you for, I have to add something because that is to me so, so important. What we've learned to do is we automate things with AI that don't have a human to human contact point. Example, at one point in my podcasting career, I was writing transcripts. I don't write transcripts anymore, but I'll tell you what, if you send me an email, you are not going to get an AI response. That will be me. If it says Alex Sanfilippo on the signature, it is actually me writing up, not a VA, not an EA, not an AI. And I believe in that. I wanted to free up my time to elevate the human experience within what we do. So AI is doing all the stuff in the background that has no human to human interaction, right? I love that you brought that up, Sheila. I think that that might be the most important piece of AI is the fact that it should elevate humanity, not take it from us.
Oh, you got a new tagline too now.
Thank you.
So for someone that is tuning in that perhaps has never considered podcasting or perhaps wants to just try, podcasting, what advice would you give them?
The first thing I tell anybody who's thinking about getting into the space, whether you're a host or a guest, is to ask yourself a question. Why do I want to do this? Listen, I know it's trendy. Podcasting is like going like crazy right now, and I'm really grateful to be part of that, but it doesn't mean that everyone needs to do it. And if you look at the data in podcasting, the amount of people that fail and quit on both sides of the microphone would blow your mind. I mean, the amount of people that make it to 8 episodes as a guest or as a host is less than 40%. And so before you say, yeah, I want to do this, it sounds great. I get it. It sounds great. It sounds cool. But before that, ask yourself internally, why do I actually want to do this? What is the purpose of it? If it's just to try something new, great. You can. Just know you might be one of those stereotype, right? You might fit into that ratio there of the 60% of people failing before they hit 8 episodes, right? But if you're like, you know what? I have a message I want to get to the world. Then develop that. Really think through it well. It doesn't need to be perfect before you launch a show or start being a guest on a podcast, but really, really know what you want. The next thing I'll share is know who you're going to speak to. Again, whether you're a guest or a host, you're speaking to a listener. So in that context of why you're launching in the first place, think about who is this going to help? Who is it going to serve? Who's it going to make laugh? Who's it going to inform? Who's it going to inspire? Think about these things really well. I think that when you have these two things right, there's no wrong way to podcast. There's no rules beyond that in my mind. If you can get these two things right from the start.
I love that. I think everyone has a story and stories can change lives. And so if you're looking to get into podcasting, I also suggest looking in a pod match if you're going to have guests, because it'll make your life a lot easier. Booking, scheduling, and keeping track, not just finding those guests.
Yeah, thank you for that. I really appreciate you mentioning PodMatch.
Well, I thank you so much for your time today and for joining me.
Yeah, thank you, Sheila. This is a great show. I really love what you're doing with this. I've been a listener myself, and I've learned some things here as well, specifically from Paul Eric Pape, maybe Pap. I can't remember his last name, but incredible speaker. I learned about giving myself some micro rewards. I encourage everybody, go back and listen to past episodes of the show. If you're just now joining for this one with me, there's some really great stuff here. So seriously, just thank you for what you're doing for having me today.
Oh, thank you. Do you know where I found that guest?
I'm about to have a guest now, but I didn't know before you said that.
PodMatch.
Very cool. Very cool. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you all for joining us on another episode of Milestone Moments in Business and Leadership.